welcome to episode 31 of Carlene's Anime Corner. As you can tell by the sound, I'm in a different location today. It's going to be an interesting time because we're also trying out recording with three microphones. So I'd like to introduce my guest host for today. I have Miss Amy.
Hello!
Which, you were here for Howl's Moving Castle, correct?
I was. I love that movie and I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
Okay, and I also have here Miss Alex, who has been on several times. I think last time was Pui Pui Mokar.
Yes, which was adorable.
Yes, and you've also done a Miyazaki film, or a Studio Ghibli, because we did, I can never remember the name, Earwig and the Witch, or
yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Okay, well today we're going to be talking about another Miyazaki film. We are talking about My Neighbor Totoro.
Yay.
Because this episode is coming out in October. And what is scarier than a cat bus?
Absolutely not.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. This is going to be a very, very interesting recording session because, as I said, we are using three microphones. We're also not in our normal recording room, so we do have a little bit of an echo going on. I apologize in advance for the sound quality here. I'm going to try and clean it up as best I can. I normally have Zoe on with me, and because of school, work, and life, she was unable to make it for this recording. And I usually start my sessions with Zoe by asking her what nerdy thing has she been into for the last month. Have you guys had anything nerdy you've been into?
let's see.
I have to remember something prior to yesterday.
It's tough.
I've
been drowning in back to school, so that's kind of my nerdy thing right now.
Yeah.
All of the back to school supplies and getting everything ready, I suppose.
Hey, stationery. Very
yes.
nerdy thing.
Yes, I love it. I love back to school season, honestly. Not joking.
Paper, pencils, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Office supplies.
We hoard so paper good. In my house. It's a really terrible thing. And Miss Amy, you recently actually started a new position here at the library, because last time you were on,
yes.
you were the assistant manager reference librarian at Maine.
I was.
And you are now here at Southeast.
I am.
Support services with me.
Yep, I'm the new collection development librarian, so I guess that's been my nerdy thing. I've been doing all sorts of statistical downloads and analyzing data and all that kind of stuff, and I've been enjoying every minute of it.
Definitely qualifies as nerdy. I have to admit, I probably would not enjoy all the statistics part. Let's go ahead, and I always start off, of course, with giving a short summary of this what we watched, which was My Neighbor Totoro, which if you have never watched My Neighbor Totoro, it is like the Studio Ghibli film. It is about two little girls. Okay, you're going to have to help me because I left all my notes at home. Two little girls named Mei and...
Oh, shoot.
You didn't write down names either.
No.
Satsuki, I think?
Satsuki.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Warning, it is early on a morning, and I left every note I took at home, so names are going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But these two little girls move out to the countryside with their father, who's an archaeology professor, and they wind up in this old house that is kind of falling apart a little bit. And their mom is in the hospital. We're never told why in the movie. It appears that she's going to be there for a while. And these girls go ahead and they start exploring their life in this country area and dealing with the fact that they really miss their mom. And they meet forest spirits, which they come to call Totoros. And that is about it. There is not a whole ton of plot in this movie, mm-hmm. to be honest. It's more of just
visual.
Truly a slice of life,
mm-hmm.
visual, what it's like living in the country. So real quick, non-spoiler review, did you guys like this movie, and what kind of rating would you give it?
This is probably maybe the fourth or fifth time that I've watched it, and I honestly, I truly love this movie. Just the visual effects and the ability to have a quiet movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give it, I don't know what our rating system is.
Oh, it's 1 to 5 stars.
Oh, 5 stars all the way.
5 stars all the way. And you, Miss Alex?
I completely agree. I've also seen it many times. Originally, I saw it by myself when I was a young adult, and now I've watched it quite a few times with my three kids as they've been growing up, and we all love it. It's just, the music is beautiful, the imagery is gorgeous, and it's just a lovely film to put on just in the afternoon or in the evening to just, you know, chill out to.
So I'm going to guess that's a 5-star rating for
you,
too.
Oh, yes.
Too.
Yes,
most definitely. Of course, we always have to ask, what's your kids' rating on this one?
Five stars.
Five stars all the way. Yes. I love having Miss Alex on when I'm doing things meant for younger kids, because then I get her kids' point of view, too. Nice. So my rating, of course, is also a 5-star. I first saw this movie in the mid-90s when my dad randomly brought it home from the video rental store on VHS tape. This is the old international dub that was done back then, not the new Disney dub. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you can get that dub anymore, and I really wish I remembered it better so I could compare it. But to be honest, this was the weird movie dad brought home. And I didn't see it again for years until Disney did their re-release of it on DVD. But yeah, I have now bought this movie, I think, 4 or 5 times with every, because they keep re-releasing it in different formats, different editions. So, but yeah, now I have the non-Disney release that G-Kids did, the Fancy Steelbook one. Ooh. So yeah, that was definitely, I saw that coming and I pre-ordered it right away. So 5-star all the way, because if I keep rebuying the same movie.
Yes. That's something.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Now you guys kept, let's go ahead and dive into our discussion here. Okay. You guys keep mentioning the music, and I have to agree, this is probably one of my favorite Miyazaki movie soundtracks. Joe Hisashi does the music like he does for a lot of the Miyazaki stuff in Studio Ghibli, and this is just a great soundtrack. It's very relaxing, very quiet, and just amazing.
Yeah, I was actually listening to it on the way to work today. I have a long commute right now, and it was just so nice to listen to. It's so calming, and sometimes movies released in the 80s can sound very dated, and I don't think this one does.
This movie was released in 1988, and I think the only thing that might be a little bit dated are the opening and closing songs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's
they're jarring. They're very much kids' songs of that era.
Yeah.
Although you have to enjoy the
I get it stuck in my head constantly.
That is so stuck in my head all the time. And it always surprises me because that's not the opening song. That's actually the closing song, which makes sense because you haven't met Totoro's yet and you have no idea what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, watching it this time, when I was listening to the opening credits, I was thinking that if I didn't know what I was going into, at that point I might have stopped, just because it was so not my thing.
the rest of the music, though.
The instrumental music, let's call it, is amazing.
Yeah, especially the, what is it, the path of the, I had it pulled up earlier today.
You actually had all the tracks pulled up.
Oh yeah, I really was listening to it on the way in. The Path of the Wind, that one was lovely. I think that's the one when they're in the field.
And they're making the little trees grow by pressing their hands.
Yeah, the ceremonial dance. Yep. It's just, I love it.
It is so beautiful. Cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are 3 scenes in this movie that are my absolute favorites that I will sometimes rewind and rewatch just because I love them so much. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any scenes like that too? And I'm just kind of curious if they're the same as mine.
Yeah, that scene specifically with the Path of the Wind when they're in the field is lovely. I also really like when they're waiting for their dad and they have that whole experience with the umbrella with Totoro.
Yes.
They have that time together where both the sisters get to meet Totoro and all of that.
I love the fact in that, because you know how, you know, after it's rained for a long time, it might have stopped raining, but the trees are still holding all the rain. I love when Totoro does this thing and all the rain just goes whoosh. And I was like, yes, I have had that experience when somebody accidentally hits a tree branch above me.
I think it's one of those universal things.
Yes. And I love the quietness of that scene, but it's really magical and amazing.
Yeah,
so that is also one of my favorites. What is another favorite of yours?
The ones that I made note of this time around were the ones where the two sisters initially open up the door to where the bathing room is, and all of the little
Soot sprites.
When they go scurrying, that moment where they're just standing there, absolutely frozen.
It's like, what did we just see?
Yes, and just that hesitation. And I'm like, I know that feeling. I've come across those things before where you're like, okay, what's next? And that, I just love that the Miyazaki and the animators took the time to put that pause in there because that just resonated with me
so
much.
I think Studio Ghibli in general is very good at the pause.
Oh my gosh,
They're very good at slowing things down and going, okay, were willing to be quiet for a moment and just let things sit for a second instead of constantly moving.
Yeah, especially compared to so many kids' movies and shows now. They're all so loud and fast-paced, and it's a lot.
Yeah, it's like you need color, movement, and loud sounds to keep a kid's attention.
It's so
and
I'm much like, stimulation.
Not necessarily. My little nephew, his favorite thing that we put on for him, and halftime it doesn't even have the sound on, is this half-hour video of fish that's on Netflix. It's this little coral reef fish swimming around. He loves the bright colors of the fish, but there's usually no sound involved, and he loves watching that.
Oh, good. They need more of that.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, I think that's why I love putting on Ghibli for them.
So one of my favorite scenes that we actually haven't mentioned yet is when the cat bus is running across the electrical wires across
the dainty feet.
With the little feet, and he's just like, cat bus is freaky, but I would also love to actually meet the cat bus in a weird way. I don't know. Amy, you're giving me a weird look.
Cat bus freaks me out, I'll be honest.
12-legged cat, not your thing?
No, and in fact, I was having a conversation with my friend about this last night, and she said I could share this. She is also a mother of two boys, and she says she's had a lot of uncomfortable conversations about it with her inquisitive children. And I was like, okay, tell me more. I need to know what these uncomfortable conversations are. And apparently, like, are you sitting inside the organs? Is it hollowed out? How is it magic? Is it fur inside? Why is it fur inside? Does its heart run its motor? And so on and so forth. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds like little boy questions about the cat bus.
Well, it's definitely fur inside because you see your get in and you see just this, it's ginger stripey fur inside, just like the outside of the cat.
You don't see any dripping things.
No. And his eyes are giant, bright headlights. I love the little smile. Sign at top that rotates to where they're going. And I really love the fact, too, that cat bus is not limited to physical locations necessarily, because she asked the cat bus to take her to her sister May.
Oh, yes.
And the little sign turned to May.
Yep.
And so they were able to go. And so it was like, yes, I'll take you to your sister. And off they go.
Yep.
They just know.
But yeah, I like the cat bus. It's a little freaky, kind of weird looking. Apparently, it's not quite life size because they couldn't fit it in the museum. But the Ghibli Museum does have a cat bus that you can sit in.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And yeah, I have to admit, I will probably never get to Japan, but if I do, that is one of the things I would like to do is go sit in the cat bus.
Oh, yes.
And I did look this up because afterwards on the DVD you lent me, I had a bonus feature where I had some interviews with Miyazaki and so
forth. I didn't have time to watch all of those, unfortunately.
And he mentioned that Cat Bus was based on
Bakeneko.
Yes, the shape-shifting cat in Japanese culture. And I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Because apparently it is a shape-shifting cat, demon creature, goblin cat, that has decided that it wanted to be a bus.
Cool.
It saw a bus and went, that's what I want to be.
Love it. I love all the different spirits and stuff they included in this film.
Well, and one of the fun things I read was apparently Totoro is a mispronunciation of the word troll, because Mei was trying to say that he was a troll, because apparently from reading fairy tales and stuff. But she's like, what, 3-4 years old? She's really little because she's not even school age yet.
Yeah.
And so she mispronounced it as Totoro. So we don't actually know what a Totoro is.
In the discussion, or in the bonus feature, he mentioned that it really wasn't anything. It was also based on the location where he was living at the time, too.
Yeah, when he was a teenager, he lived in that area in the late 50s, which is when this movie is set.
Yeah.
Which is, so that's the other thing. This movie is actually a historical clip of Japan countryside right after World War II. So it's a very different era, which is why they don't have phones in their houses. There's one person in the village who has a phone. Telegrams are still delivered by a guy on a bike.
I love that.
Which I love. And why it's just, it's a very different atmosphere. And I think that's also why it feels quieter, is because there isn't as much technology. They're not, it's more into the nature and just the exploring the world around them.
Yeah. It's beautiful childhood.
I also love traditional Japanese homes where you can open them up completely to the, like that.
And that's what really struck me.
I love that.
The architecture in there is what first attracted me to
the really interesting is Tokyo actually has a very similar climate to Florida, particularly during the summer. Very hot, very humid. And so they would build their houses like that so they could open them and catch the breeze. But then during the winter, it would get cold or you would have rainstorms. So they have the sliding panels where you put them back in. But again, that's also why their houses tend to be raised, because you get the breeze under the house and things get cooler. and stuff like that. So yeah, I Japanese architecture I always kind of imagined would actually work pretty well in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in
probably.
A lot of ways.
Very intentional.
But you will notice that when Mei and I always forget her name.
Yeah, same.
Sasuke
were sleeping at night before they went out to help the trees grow. They were covered in mosquito netting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because their house is open, so they have all the bugs and everything. Mm-hmm. Which, again, I was like, yep, Florida.
Yes.
You only sit on the porch when screened, because otherwise you're getting eaten alive.
Right. Yep. Malaria.
So yeah.
That was something else that I looked up because I was watching.
You look up everything.
I do. Well,
love it.
I mean, that's the whole, when you find something interesting, you know, I always want to learn more about it. But during the interview with Miyazaki, when he was talking about it, he was talking about the Satoyama culture. And I had to look that up because I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah, because I didn't listen to that interview, I actually haven't run across that one yet.
So a Satoyama is an environment where people have coexisted with nature over time, living near the border of the Sato, where people live, and Yama, which means mountain. They consist of communities where people manage both forests and farmlands. And living in Satoyama, Japanese people have become a part of the ecosystem, realizing what is now called a sustainable lifestyle. And I get this from a website called Satoyama Experience.
Which that was very much shown in this movie,
yes.
Because there were farms around there, because Granny was raising her vegetables and everything, and you could see that. But there was also still a lot of wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the liminal zone, where it's in between humanity and nature, and I really loved how closely everything was intertwined. I mean, that, for me, this viewing really stuck out for me.
Which, that is why the kids are able to find a Totoro so close to their house.
Exactly, and they're able to see it because they have experience with the different natural elements, and they have, like, the right eyes to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I really like that. I didn't know that that type of living had a name. Mm-hmm. Of course, Japan has a name for everything.
But what was interesting is that they were saying during the 1980s and 1990s, they were demolishing a lot of those types of areas while building things up. Mm-hmm. And there's a movement now to regain that and recognize that it's an important
Japan
lifestyle.
Is actually having a major problem with a lot of their rural towns and small towns and stuff with their aging out.
Yeah.
Because all the kids have moved to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you will notice that in the last 5-6 years, there have been several anime that have come out that talk about the amazing wonders and fun of living in a rural area. It's because it's
propaganda
right there, trying to say, go live in the country, get married, have kids, please.
Yeah.
Because their population's also dropping.
Oh, no.
So, but yeah, I find it fascinating sometimes to look at an anime and go, so this is a really good show, but what is there a sneaky purpose behind it sometimes?
Yeah.
Because we have the same thing in our TV at times.
But I definitely feel from this one, no hidden message at all.
Oh, no.
Celebrating.
He's just right out.
Yep.
We're going to celebrate nature, living with nature, and the joy of it.
And one of the other things he said in the interview that I absolutely loved, I wrote the whole thing down, it was... he said that when he was making the movie and he was rediscovering that Japan was actually a very lovely place, he said, it was like sending a message to myself as a kid that Japan was a beautiful country. And I thought, I still get chills just thinking about that. That he, it took him a while. He was definitely older when he realized just how beautiful it was where he lived.
Well, and sometimes you don't realize how nice something is until it's gone.
Very true.
And you can't quite go back to it anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
He's looking back at his childhood and those experiences. And it's something about looking at things through the eyes of a child or through the point of view that he's trying to get in the movie.
That's also what I really like about this movie is the kids strike me as being truly their age.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, I got it. Yeah.
Sasuke, or
Satsuki?
Satsuki, she acts very adult and grown up, but most of the time. But she is also the oldest child.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's not home, so she's trying to take care of Mei because while her dad loves him dearly, he's got a full-time job and he's constantly working. Even when he's at home, he's in his office.
Yeah.
And so she is trying to take the place of taking care of her. So she acts more adult sometimes, but you still see her break down and act like a kid, which is amazing.
Yeah. One of my other favorite scenes is when they first come to the house and they are playing around with that one big pole that's rotting.
And they nearly knock the porch off.
And she has this moment where she's like, ha ha, it's rotten. And then she just starts laughing hysterically. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a kid thing.
Yeah, that's a kid thing. Well, and then a piece falls down and nearly lands on them.
Yeah.
And they're just giggling and laughing and running.
I
was like, yeah, that's a kid thing.
Yeah.
We're just going to play with dangerous stuff and we don't care.
Yep.
And it's funny.
It's funny. It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt.
Yep. It seemed very genuine. They did a great job.
Well, and it's particularly May with her facial expressions and everything.
Oh, I know. She's so adorable.
So I love the fact when she finds the tadpoles, she's actually, like, crouching down like she's a frog.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that? She actually kind of, like, turns into a frog when she's looking at the tadpoles.
Uh-huh.
You know,
oh, it's so cute.
Lots of really great details. Couple fun facts that you have not said. So even though in the movie they never say what's wrong with their mother, there was a novelization. Yeah, you know this one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a novelization in which they actually said that she has tuberculosis.
Oh.
Because apparently the hospital where she's staying that was also was known for treating tuberculosis patients. I can't say that word. Anyway. Well, apparently Miyazaki's mom was in the hospital for 9 years when he was a kid with spinal tuberculosis.
Oh.
So this is also like a tad bit, I think, autobiographical for him because it was set in a place where he grew up. It dealt with a mother being in the hospital for long periods of time and stuff like that.
And you really saw that in the motion of the sisters when they found out that the mother couldn't come home
again.
Yeah. Like, you felt that. Like, he was kind of talking about something he had gone through.
With her bounding determination to bring the corn to her mom, because the corn was going to make her mom better, because we're talking about how all these fresh veggies would make, fresh veggies, not a bad idea when you're sick with something, but yeah, that was just, yeah.
I know.
Well, and also just the reality of how easy it is for a kid to die in the country, because they found the shoe in the pond, and they have the long poles, they're literally looking for her body, and that was...
That was
really dark
suddenly
for this movie, because up until then it was kind of just a happy-go-lucky film, and then, which little kids like yours might not realize that was precisely what they were doing.
It was a little over their heads.
But the fact they're probing the pond with these long bamboo poles is they're looking for a dead kid.
Yeah.
And they are really worried they're going to find one.
And they assembled quickly like it was something they had done before. Yeah, the whole village.
Yep.
Other fun factor than TV one. There's a reason why they abbreviate that word. So this film came out in 1988. I thought I said that, sorry. But what I think and what I say sometimes aren't the same.
I know that feeling.
Did you know it was released in Japan as a double feature in the movie theater?
No.
Oh.
And it flopped completely.
Oh, yes, I did hear about that.
Oh, no.
Because you know what movie they paired it with?
No.
Grave of the Fireflies.
No. Oh, which is the most heartbreaking,
depressing movie that will ever exist. And I have not watched it because I... No, because I don't want to be that depressed ever.
Oh, gosh. Have you seen it, Amy?
No, for a similar reason. But now I'm thinking that should be an episode.
Oh, it's so sad. Like, there will be crying on the podcast.
Yeah. It literally is about a little kid who starves to death in World War II. So.
Yeah. I watched it in high school for a class.
So I was reading in a book that... the reason why it was released as a double feature was because even though Miyazaki really wanted to make this film, nobody thought it would be successful. Mm. They thought it would fail.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, no. He'd been trying to get this made for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they paired it with Grave of the Fireflies because you're like, oh, they'll take all the school kids to this movie because it's a historical feature and it would be a educational outing. So we'll put My Neighbor Totoro with it so somebody at least will see it.
Oh. Yeah.
No. So neither one of them did very well in the box office because who wants to watch this My Neighbor Totoro after watching this really serious, heavy, depressing film?
Yeah.
Or somebody gets done with My Neighbor Totoro and then they go into this heavy, serious, depressing film.
Yeah.
So
no.
It was not a good pairing.
No. And both of the films are like, they're really well done.
Yes.
And they're great. But
Grave of the Fireflies was done by Isao Takahata, who was Miyazaki's partner in Studio Ghibli. And I love a lot of Takahata's work. He's done some of my favorite Studio Ghibli films. But then they went ahead and they aired it on television a year later. It was a smash hit. So I was watching one of those little interview things last night. I didn't have time to go through all of them. But they were talking about how they had had a giveaway from a toy maker. They were making little Totoros. And you had to write in with a postcard because, you know, this is back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, 3 tons of postcards show up for these little toy Totoros.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was the beginning of the Totoro craze.
Yeah.
Which has not let up.
I was trying to count how many little Totoro figures I have. I think I reached, like, 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
I might have a few more that I've forgotten. But, yeah. Nope. So that was the beginning of the popularity of My Neighbor Totoro, but it had a really rough start.
Oh, gosh. Understandably so. That was not a good marketing mm-hmm. decision.
No.
Well, he was saying also in one of the interviews that at the time it was really hard to create any sort of animated feature that didn't have a superhero or...
Because it's the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No magical powers, mm-hmm. no superheroes, just that calm slice of life.
Yeah. I'm sure in comparison, people thought it was boring and it wouldn't do well, but that's exactly what was needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then did you notice that the promotional poster, which is also on the cover of all the DVDs, does not actually match what's in the movie?
No, I didn't see the poster.
Oh, that's right. I lent you the DVD. Mm-hmm. I had the case. Yeah. So a lot of the DVDs and posters are the scene of my neighbor Totoro. Totoro standing there with the umbrella and the little girl standing next to him. That little girl is neither Mei nor Satsuki.
Oh, who is she?
What? I am going to have to go back and look now.
Yeah. It is one girl, not both of them. Mm-hmm. And she has the dark hair and pigtails. Which neither child has.
Oh, no.
And it's not. So what it was is originally the movie was going to have one protagonist, not two sisters.
Oh.
And it is Yeah, you're just looking it up. on an audio thing, we're having a visual show and tell here.
No, that does kind of look... Wait.
It looks like her, but it's not her.
Oh, no, you're right. There's no details.
Yeah, it is not her.
That's
originally,
crazy.
This movie was only going to have one protagonist. It was going to be a shorter film.
Mm-hmm. No.
They changed the story and made it longer when they found out it was going to be paired with Grave of the Fireflies, so they'd have similar running times.
Okay. Oh, wow. I'm so glad they decided to add the sister aspect
Me
to
too.
It.
Me too. Yeah. That brought the movie to life in
it
my
did.
Mind.
So, but yeah, that. But for some reason, all the promotional materials still have artwork from the...
Oh, that's so funny. I never noticed that.
Wow. Yeah, and I didn't notice for years. It wasn't until a couple of years ago I was looking at the case and I went,
wait a minute.
There's something different here.
Yeah.
There's something different here.
Yeah, that's not it.
But, so anyway, that was one of the... So do you guys want to go into rumors that Studio Ghibli has actively shot down about the real dark story behind My Neighbor Totoro?
I would like to hear all about this.
Yes, please.
Now, I will tell you, Studio Ghibli has officially come out. Miyazaki has come out and said, this is not true. This is just fans making stuff up.
Okay.
Tell.
It's not canon. I don't care.
It's not canon. Totoro is the king of death.
Ooh.
And Mei did actually drown.
Oh.
And Satsuki drowned trying to rescue her.
Oh.
And the cat bus is taking them to
the chariot.
It's a chariot to the afterlife.
No.
Okay, now, I will admit, this time through, I was thinking more along the lines, like, I noticed that almost all of the experiences with the Totoros were happening when Mei was sleeping. And I was wondering, is this just all a dream?
Yeah.
But the very last... experience they have with them
was very different.
If you tie that in with death, I could see all of that happening.
Yeah. Whoa. Now Miyazaki has come out and said this is absolute garbage. It's not true. Whatever.
But that's a very interesting interpretation.
I love it when people make up really fun stories because they've done that with the Disney movies and stuff. Like the parents of Tarzan were actually Elsa's parents, and when they were lost at sea, they crashed because it was before Frozen 2 came out. They crashed in Africa and they had Tarzan. So Tarzan is actually Elsa's brother.
Yep. I love all those theories.
That is complete, like, really stretching, but it's fun what people will come up with when you hand them little bits.
Right.
Definitely.
Try to tie them all together. The other thing I was thinking is that first time, you know, when the acorns start dropping, I was like, this is a setup for a horror film. And part of it, as I was watching through it, I was like, I could see this as a horror film.
So, have you ever watched any AMVs, animated music videos? Anime music videos?
I don't think so.
Okay, there was one that came out years ago, and my sister and I saw it at a convention. My sister is much younger than me, and I was in college, and I think she was just beginning high school.
Mm.
She and I were falling out of our chairs laughing at this AMV, and we had a group of people behind us that were looking at us like we were the most insane nuts they had ever seen, because it is this serious, dramatic music from, I think, Requiem of a Dream or something, so that really serious, dramatic music. And they had recut 4 minutes of My Neighbor Totoro to make it into a horror movie. It literally looks like Totoro ate Mei.
I could see that.
And the cat bus ate Satsuki.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, that's like some
And it ends, and you know that one scene where the shoe is floating on the pond?
Uh-huh.
It ends with that.
Nice.
Wow, the power of editing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so this is.
Had those undertones to it already.
It does. That's why I said this is a great Halloween movie. Because the cat bus is a little scary.
It's a monster.
It is a monster.
It's children.
Mm-hmm. Terrifying.
In his furry stomach.
Mm-hmm. So strange, but so good.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think it's time we wrap things up here. We've been going for a little while, and you have to go to work. I have to go to work. Thank you so much for joining me. And do you guys have any last thoughts about My Neighbor Totoro that we haven't gotten to yet to wrap things up?
I think that this is a movie that I will continue to watch. Agreed. Yeah, as you know, as we go through different stages of life. And it's just cool how you can always get something different from it each time you watch it.
It is, because you notice new details every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, most movies, like if I'm watching something, I'm usually doing something else at the same time. This is one of those movies where I watch it all the way through and my attention doesn't break.
Yeah. So that's usually me with My Neighbor Totoro. My cats got in a fight in the middle of this movie, so they wound up with me chasing the cats all over the house before they broke a lamp and throwing one of them in the bathroom for time out so I could finish the movie in peace.
That's fair.
Again, thank you all for joining me. I hope this works out with the three microphones, because it will be a lot of fun in the future.
Yes.
To have more people on and be able to have more discussions.
Yeah.
And I really hope one day I get one person on who hates the movie and one who loves it. They just sit back and watch them go.
How interesting that would
be. Yes, it would be fun. Or maybe fun for me.
Not so much for them. Depends on the people.
Depends on how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as I said, thank you so much for joining me. And if those of you who are listening with us have any comments or thoughts they want to make, they can go ahead and email in at the email address that's in our show notes. I look forward to hearing from any of you. And
thanks so much.
Yes, thank you for
having
coming.
Us. Can't wait to be back.
Yes. Have a great fall. Watch a lot of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Me too. Bye.
Bye.